if I turn this button on, wouldn't it? You know, how y'all doing this morning? Man, I tell you, we've been having some gorgeous weather this week, haven't we? I tell you, looks like we're going to be getting some much-needed rain, though, here pretty shortly. But it's under God's provision that we get what we get when we get it. Amen? You know, I was riding a horse the other day, and I was just having a good time, but I noticed something about this horse, something that it lacked, not liked, but something it lacked. And what it lacked was a good foundation. It didn't know the basics. It lacked a foundation that is required for a horse that is finished to ride. And I got to thinking about that word foundation and what it meant, and what it meant in the Christian life. Webster Dictionary says it like this: it's the basis on which something stands or is supported, is what they call a foundation, like a foundation on a house. You know, you put rebar in it, you form it up, put rebar in it, and then you pour it with concrete so that it will stay there. It's solid. That's the base that it's set on. And when you're talking about a horse, though, what does it mean to have a good foundation on a horse? That it's full of concrete? He knows what he's doing. He has the simple things, the basic things, you know, what to do. To walk, to trot, to turn left, right, to side pass, either direction, to actually perform everything, like be able to move his front legs this way and move his rear end the same way. If you can move their feet, then you've got something. And one of the important things is learning how to stop and to back up. How good is a horse that doesn't know how to stop? It's scary, isn't it? That's what happened with this horse. I was riding along, and I said, okay, let's stop. And it just kept going. Like, huh? What are you trying to tell me? Now, I'm trying to tell you to stop. And it just kept going. And in some situations, that can be dangerous, you know. But just think about it. When God tells us to stop, if we don't have a good brake system, guess what? And we're not listening, we're not obeying, we're not respecting the Lord, I tell you, it can be very annoying, especially to him. The horse and rider have got to become one. You know, it should be almost to the point to where that you don't have to think about it when you have a horse that has a good foundation. It's just you get on them and you go, and it kind of senses what comes next, what you want it to do. You become one. As Christians, we need that same oneness with God, even more so. You know, we have to have a solid foundation as Christians to build our lives on. Let's open up God's Word to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Now, this is Paul. He's talking about this. I mean, this is not Paul. This is Matthew. That's later on. Hang on. Forgive me for what I was saying. I wasn't paying attention to my notes. 7, 24 to 27. The God's Word says this: anyone who listens to my teachings, this is Jesus saying, and follows it wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You know, when any time that you build on sand, you're asking for trouble, don't you? What do you see when a contractor, if he comes to a spot in a house and he looks and he says, there's nothing under this, what's the first thing he lays down? Clay. Why? He wants it not to move. Clay don't move. So he puts the clay down as a base, and then he puts the forms up and puts a rebar and a concrete on it so it won't move. If he built it right on the sand, the first time the rain come along, guess what? It'd wash out from under that concrete. It would destroy that foundation. It would start cracking, and boy, I mean, before long you'd be seeing cracks coming down, a little crack, and it'd be in the wall, around the doors, around the windows, and the whole house would just cave in after a period of time. The roof would start cracking and moving. The house that Jesus is talking about here represents a lived life, how you live your life. And the rain that he talks about is his divine judgment that comes on every believer. The life built on the foundation of obedience to God's word stands, is what that scripture means. This obedience calls for repentance, no work salvation, which means that you cannot do anything to earn the salvation. Not one thing. It's either free or you got to work for it. He offers it freely. There's nothing you can do to get salvation except accept it. And the last thing is trusting in God's grace to save you through his merciful provision. You know, this verse also talks about many other things. If I could get this thing to come apart. It also appears in the same scripture, is repeated again, almost word for word, but it's a little bit different in Luke 6, 46 through 39. And I'm going to read this. Jesus kind of, Luke has a way, being a doctor, he's a man of detail. He looks at stuff and he doesn't add anything to it. He just seems to see more than the other guys did, than Matthew did. And this is the way that Luke, the doctor, saw this same scene. Jesus says this, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? What's the use of you calling me Lord or Master? If I'm really Lord, then why don't you do what I tell you to do, basically? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person," it says, "it's like a person, a building, a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But a person who builds a house without a foundation, when the floods sweep down against that house, it'll collapse into a heap of ruins." Y'all, this is something we've got to get right as believers. There's some things that you just got to nail down and say, we've got to do this. This is something that's important. If you want an excellent life, if you want a life that when you come to judgment, I'm talking about those of us who are in Christ, when judgment day comes, when you build your life the way the world says to build your life, the way you ought to live, the way you ought to talk, the way you ought to think, when you get to judgment, all that stuff is going to be burned up. The only thing that will stand is what you did for Christ, what you did for God. It's not enough for us to give lip service to Christ. Anybody know what lip service is? You know what it is. You probably used it. I know I have. It's when you go along, you say, you know, that's exactly the way I believe. And then you go live somewhere else. That's kind of called what? Being a what? A hypocrite. My dad loved that word. It was his only excuse for not coming to God's house. He says, "I'm a believer, but that building down there, that church is just full of hypocrites. Because they say one thing, and then when they go home, they live another way." That's giving lip service to Christ. He says they call on him by name as Lord. He says, why do you do that? Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I tell you? It's almost like, why should I even bother? But he bothers because he loves us. Genuine faith produces obedience. You know, it's kind of like something we teach our children, isn't it? Son, if you just, or daughter, if you just obey me, you won't get into trouble. If you do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. But do they do it? No, they don't. They're because they're independent people. They're going to do what they want to do until they learn there is a penalty for doing the wrong thing. And that doesn't take long. I remember when my grandson was little, he knew that it was wrong to reach in for something when they said no. And he would go, he would start blinking his eyes and putting his head back because he knew he was going to get his hand slapped, but that hand was still moving. A hand was still reaching out for what he was not supposed to get. And sure enough, bam, he got it. And he knew it was coming. He knew there was a penalty for what he was fixing to do, but it's almost like, I can't help it. I want it that bad. I want what's there that bad enough to know it don't hurt, but it only hurts for a little while. That's what they think. And then I've got it, you know. But we take it away from them, don't we? If you love Jesus, if you truly love him, and you want to listen, and you listen to what he says and what he tells us to do, then we'll serve him. We don't have to be made to serve. No one has to stand behind you with a bullwhip. You know, I think some of us need that sometimes to kind of get a little fire going. You know, when something stings and burns, you move away from it, don't you? And that's, I think some of us need a wake-up call every once in a while, that little whip to and go, ha, yeah, okay, I'll move. I'll do something. But we should do all things because Jesus asked us to do it, and we do it out of love for him, for what he sacrificed for us. He gave his life for us, and all he asked us to do is to serve him. You know, building a life the way the world says to do it will lead to death. It leads to destruction. Your life will be destroyed. If you don't believe me, just look at the world, what's going on. Look at what is happening in this world today. This country is in the biggest doggone mess I've ever seen for the time I've been alive. It's been kind of like I hate to say this from a pulpit, but it's kind of like a toilet. When you push the button or you flip that lever, then it starts swirling, don't it? And it starts going down. Well, folks, if you can't tell we're in that swirl, you've got your head stuck in the sand. We need to stop and pull our head out of wherever it is and start listening to God and start obeying. Because he says the time is short, y'all. The time is short. We don't have a lot of time left. If you knew the date when the Lord was coming back, wouldn't you act different? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think different? Wouldn't you plan your day different? You would do a lot of things different if you knew the time was near. He's saying the time is near. You need to pay attention. I need you to serve. Building a life the way the world sees it will definitely lead to destruction. And it won't stand on judgment day. But a life that's built on obedience, obeying God, doing what he tells us to do, is a life where everything he asks us to do, we will be rewarded for it. An excellent life, as I've been talking about, a life that's worth living instead of just existing. Have you ever just gone through a day and just wondered, what did I really do today that was so all-fired important? I can't really think of one thing I really did, you know, that was really makes a difference. Now, we do lots of things. I'm not talking about you do things during a day, but I'm talking about things that make a difference, things that last. I'm talking about God's kingdom, saying a kind word to someone that needs one, an encouraging word to someone who is just down and out and they just don't know where to turn. Shed light where there's darkness. Read a scripture to someone. Invite them to church. And, oh, by all means, don't witness to them and tell them about Jesus. Those are the things that we should be doing every single day. That's what he's saying. You need to be doing this every day. This should be the thing that you do the most. And your work, what you think is important that you're doing for yourself, becomes second. I mean, we have opportunities every day to witness for the Lord or tell someone or to help someone, but we're too busy doing our own thing to see it. We just let it go by. Well, I really don't have time. Somebody else will do it. You know, if I can't do it, Wendell will do it. Steve will do it. I know it. Clay will tell somebody. One of y'all will. Why should I always be the one to have to do it? Why should I always have to have a smile on my face? Kind of get the picture? It's all of us. We're a family. We're all God's children. We're all in this together. A life that is worth living is a life that's going to be rewarded. Living a righteous life, one that is right in God's eyes, is a life worth living. Think about that, y'all. Let it sink in. A righteous life, one that is right in God's eyes, that everything you do and everything you say during the course of 24 hours, or maybe, I don't know how long that you sleep. Some of us, not so long. Some of you younger ones, y'all could sleep all day long, couldn't you? But whatever time you're awake, whatever time that your eyes are open, your brain may not be kicked in, but it should be. But when your eyes are open, you're living a right life and thinking rightly. That's what righteous means, what's right in God's eyes. That's an excellent life. That's a life that's worth living. And when you lay your head down at night and you go to sleep, you don't have to feel guilty about what you did or didn't do during the day. Anybody ever have one of them to where you can't turn this sucker off? It's still going and playing like a movie theater of everything you did that day. Some of you are still playing back things that happened a couple of days ago, or heaven forbid, a week ago. They're still going on. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why didn't I do, you know, why? You go to bed at night, and there's a peace that surpasses anything you can imagine. That peace is from God. He's saying, man, you did it. You nailed it today. You did exactly everything that I asked you to do, and you listened to me. Well done. When we get to heaven, that's the one thing that I want to hear. Well done. Well done. Lynn, you did good. You didn't just do all right. I didn't have to kick you in the butt every single day just to get you to do anything. You actually started it. We're ready to do it. That's what I live for. That life that's worth living. What are you living for today? Are you living for yourself, or are you living for Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you. Lord, just talking about what is a worthy life to live. What is a life that's worth living? Obedience. Minding. Doing what we're supposed to be doing, Lord, is a hard thing to do for some of us. Because we still hear the world calling. And we're trying to hold on to both the world and to your kingdom at the same time. I just pray, Father, that we could let go of the world. What blessings would flow in our life. How great it would be, and how much in love we would be, not only with you, Father, but with each other. How life would be so much sweeter, Lord, if we would just let go of our old self, our old nature. I pray that that would happen to us today, Lord, that we focus our attention on you, put you first in our life, and everything else second. We love you and we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning, for stirring our hearts and speaking to us. I pray, Lord, that you just protect everyone that's here, even the ones that are just members, Lord, that can't be here today, Father. You'd protect their hearts and protect their minds from the evil one. That we would daily all put on the armor of God that you provide. So, Lord, that we could live that life that we were intended to live when we said yes to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to take a moment. Guys, come down. Help me with the Lord's Supper. We're going to